the three for the Lakers, who put up 42 tonight. 39 threes by the Warriors, who win on the road on opening night against the Lakers. In the fourth quarter, Golden State outscored the Lakers 38-29.
Give all the credit to Steve Kerr, the Warriors, the young players. They really stepped up tonight.
Whether they're speaking in tongues,
what's the volume of the morning?
Gone, huh? Yeah.
Or talking sports, they're back. They are Murph and Mac on The Sports Leader. Available now on your Google Home smart speaker. Just say play KNBR. KNBR.
All right, kids, hey, getting into it. That was a nice conversation with Michael Thompson. I always love having him on the show. Because, Copes, I got to admit, I remember watching the guy play, like, right alongside Magic Johnson and all that.
Former number one overall pick in 78.
Yeah. And you bleed, like, a lot of these guys. Like, a lot of the greats, they always kind of downplay their own achievements. But anyway, the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, it's Michael Thompson right there. It's pretty cool. Anyway, let's bring in Kendra Andrews right now. Copes, of course, you know her from NBC Sports Bay Area. You also listen to her on the Dubs Talk podcast with Grant Lithman. Yep, and so it's time. Let's bring her in, talk some Golden State Warrior basketball. Hey, Kendra, good morning. You're on with Polly Mack and Adam Copeland for Brian Murphy today. Nice to have you on board. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Yeah. We're feeling good after that first win. Copes and I were sitting here kind of combing through the win last night. And we'll just start here, Kendra. A couple things I noticed and felt pretty good about for opening night was, one, I thought that the ball movement was pretty noticeably improved from what we saw last year at times. And two, the depth. There were guys, we had six Golden State Warriors in double figures last night. So if that's a sign of things to come, I like opening night, you know?
Absolutely. The depth that this team has is a complete different look than what they were last season. And actually, after the game last night, Steve Kerr was asked, did he get any strength in numbers vibe that was their, you know, their calling card throughout that historic run that they had? And he said, yeah, we haven't had this depth for a couple of years. So you go down the list, as you said, all those guys in double figures. Andre Iguodala, I mean, I don't think they thought he was going to be that productive for them, but he really was. And for me, the standout off the bench was Nemanja Bjelica.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but when they signed him over the summer, I said, yeah, you know, he's going to be a good shooter for the team. He's going to be an excellent floor spacer. But I did not know that he had the IQ that he has. I think he's an excellent passer, and when you put him out there with another smart player like Andre, there's just no telling what that second unit can do.
You know what was crazy to me, Kendra, and we're talking to Kendra Andrews on the Human Guest Line, NBC Sports Bay Area, is, and you said this in one of your articles from last night after the game, every couple of minutes you look down at the score and you go, oh, wow, Warriors are within five, or Warriors are within four.
Yeah.
And then at some point you look up and you're like, wait, Steph's not on the floor and they're up by four? And then it didn't feel like they're not going to relinquish this lead. They're not going to lose this game once Steph comes back on the floor. To me, yeah, we can talk about depth, but the biggest element here is the ball movement, that they are able to score when Steph is off the floor. They were outscored by like 170 last year when he was right, not playing, when he would leave the floor. How impressed were you with the distribution, with the ball movement, and was it a surprise to you?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise, just because, as you said, you know, last season, those minutes that Steph wasn't on the court is when Warriors fans would hold on for dear life and say, okay, you know, these 8 minutes are either when the Warriors are going to lose the game or it won't be decided yet. And then it will be decided when Steph gets back in the game. So the fact that, yeah, it never felt like the Warriors had complete control. And then you look up and you say, yeah, they're going to win this game. That's pretty crazy. And that's, you know, attributed to, as you said, the ball movement and the distribution from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And of course, Jordan Poole, you know, Jordan Poole, I really like how Steve Kerr is staggering, Steph and Jordan Poole. He said before the game that he plans on having at least one of them on the floor at all times. And that's a testament to the confidence that this team has in Jordan Poole's ability, not just to score, but to also be a floor general, which also, when Klay Thompson comes back, is going to be a really good thing, because then Jordan Poole will be a sixth man off the bench and he will be that leader. So to have this much cohesion for a team that has so many new guys, putting players in a lot of new positions that they weren't in last season, and have it just be the first game of the season, it's a really encouraging sign.
You know, Kendra, you mentioned the bench there. I just want to talk about Andre Iguodala for a second, too, because, you know, first of all, nice to see him back in a Warrior uniform. I think Warrior fans will always have a warm place in their hearts for Andre. So nice to see him back with the Dubs. Nice night for Andre last night. 12 points off the bench. Mm-hmm. And but the thing that I kind of noticed was 23 minutes. That was more than I would expect for Andre. And I don't know if that's the outlier or if that's the norm. I guess I'm asking, Kendra, what would you expect from Andre in terms of minutes on a nightly basis?
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to be putting up 23 minutes every single night. I think because it was season opener, they didn't run him ragged in the preseason, I believe because they knew that they really wanted him to have fresh legs for this first early push of the season. So once you get more into the thick of it, I see that minute load decreasing, especially if you're having other reliable guys off the bench like Felisa, like Otto Porter Jr., like Damian Lee, Juan Toscano Anderson. Hopefully they don't have to play Andre all of the time.
Right.
That being said, they probably do have some big games circled on the calendar, like against Lakers last night. That was a big game. Maybe you circle Brooklyn. Maybe you circle Milwaukee. Maybe you circle Phoenix. Just games that you say, these teams are at the top of the league. We really want to have extra push. Maybe we rest him the night before, two nights before, just so he's ready to go. So load management is definitely something I expect because their main priority is to have him in the playoffs and throughout the regular season when he does play. I think he'll be, you know, maybe around 20, maybe just under 20 minutes, depending
right.
on how he's feeling.
Okay.
Kendra, you know the one thing that bummed me out about this game, because I was hoping he'd be on the roster, and I love that they've sort of gone all in with the veteran presence, Bielitsa, Otto Porter, you mentioned Iguodala. But Avery Bradley, you look up and there he is in a Laker uniform. Steph and Draymond wanted him here. They wanted him at the end of the bench. He came in last night, 8 minutes, and looked really, really good. D'd up Steph, knocked down a couple of threes. I guess my question is, what gives? Like, why isn't he here in Golden? Why isn't he here in San Francisco?
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I mean, that's a good question, and I wish I had a clear, concise answer for you. The only thing I would say is because of Gary Payton II. I think that at the end of the day, Gary Payton II, he only played in one game in the preseason, but that one game he played extremely well, and he has played for this organization before, so they know what they can give. The other half of this, why they may have signed Gary Payton II over Avery Bradley, is because they could get Payton on a non-guaranteed deal. This gives them the flexibility by trade deadline. If there is someone else that they want to go after, there's a lot more flexibility to dish and deal and get someone new. If they signed Avery Bradley, it would not have been a non-guaranteed. So that locks them in a little bit more and gives them less flexibility down the stretch. And so that's what I really think it comes down to. They were impressed with Avery Bradley's camp. They thought he was really good. As you mentioned, Steph and Draymond thought he would have been a great addition to this team, and he probably would have. But I think they want flexibility, and the fact that the guy who would give them that flexibility has also played with this team before made it an attractive balance for them.
Having a conversation with Kendra Andrews on the UMA guest line. Kendra, one guy I had my eye on last night, I think a lot of Warrior fans were watching with curiosity, was Andrew Wiggins. You know, he had a very high-profile offseason, obviously, with his resistance to take the vaccine. He did take it, so he's out there playing, obviously. But I wonder, you know, there were, I don't want to say like prominent talk, but maybe whispers, you could say, like during the preseason, like, was Wiggins properly engaged? Is he playing defense at the level where we know he can play D? And when he gets hot, we've seen that he can be a great scorer. Just kind of asking you your view of Wiggins. I know it's only one game. It's an extremely small sample size, but I don't know. I thought Wiggins looked pretty good last night. You know, 12 points. He was 26 minutes on the floor, but I didn't get the sense like he was not engaged, which is something I'd been hearing.
Yeah, I didn't really get that sense either. And from everything that I've been seeing within this organization and spending some time around the team, is that there's no, I didn't think that that was an issue at all. And like you said, you look at his stat sheet and he's, okay, 12 points on 5 of 10 shooting. He had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. I mean, when you look at what he put up last season, those numbers are really consistent with that. You know, he was just a consistent guy all the way through the season. As you mentioned, he could get hot when the team needed him to, but he was just a reliable then second option scorer, but now he's able to kind of take it two steps back and be a third or fourth option in scoring. So I wouldn't be concerned with anything. You know, Steve Kerr did mention that he's not planning on playing Wiggins with a super high minute load to start the season because he does have to get some more conditioning under his belt. But if that's what he was able to do in 26 minutes, not fully conditioned, I wouldn't be too concerned.
Kendra, you're a Bay Area kid. We always keep an eye on what's happening with L.A. I'm wondering, just quickly, your thought on the Lakers last night. I've been saying to Paulie today, they look old to me. They looked top heavy to me, obviously. Westbrook was not at his best last night. But just your analysis, I mean, they're a team that's in the top three, according to Vegas, as favorites to be in the NBA Finals or to win the Finals this year. What did you make of them one game in?
I mean, I would agree with everything you just said in that sentence. Somehow I agree with the fact that they do look a little old. They do look very top heavy, and I can see them making it to the NBA Finals. So I'll break it down quickly for you guys and why I see that. I mean, when you just look at the bench points, the Warriors outscored the Lakers bench 51-29 last night. I mean, that in itself just shows how top heavy that team is. And those top heavy players, the players that they have on top are some of the best in this league, right? But a lot of them are past their prime. So when you say, oh, they have Carmelo Anthony, at first you go, oh my gosh, wow. And then you say, okay, well, how many years is he in this league? What has he been able to do over the past couple of years? Of course, he had that really great season in Portland, but generally what has been going on with him? Injuries have been not so kind to the Lakers early on. And, you know, it has been to some of their younger players who they were hoping could take some of the minutes from these older guys when they need to rest. I think the Lakers are built for the postseason because in the postseason, that's when you see the rotation shrink. You know, you're not playing 12, 13 guys. You're playing 9, you know, 8, something like that. And that's when the Lakers are going to become a real threat. But in the regular season, you know, I do see them. I don't see them coming out of the West in that number one seed. Of course, they have to integrate Russell Westbrook. But at the same time, once they do, there's questions of how he just is going to coexist with LeBron James. You know, so there's a lot of questions about the Lakers team that they have to still figure out before, you know, they're going to be a real regular season threat.
I always feel like, Kendra, though, you know, no matter what happens, though, I always expect to see the Lakers, especially now with LeBron, all these all-stars they have, like I just kind of expect to see them in the Western Conference Finals one way or another. When the smoke clears, they'll be there. You know what I mean? Or they'll probably be close to it. Kendra, nice having you on the show. Good conversation, and look forward to doing it again down the road. Take care.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You got it. That's Kendra Andrews, everybody. Again, you know her on NBC Sports Bay Area. You listen to her on the Dubs Talk podcast with Grant Lithman. And, Copes, I've heard her on your show a few times.
Yeah, she's come on with me a few times. Yeah, Kendra does a great job.
So, really anyway, nice night last night. I think we're all pretty pleased. I don't know, no unhappy Warrior voices today. No complaints. Anytime you go down to Staples and get one on their floor, you feel pretty good about it. Warriors off today, and, again, they have their home opener at Chase Center in front of Jumpin' Joe Lacob and Raymond Ritter. The whole family's going to be out there tomorrow night. That's going to be fun to get basketball with a full house back at Chase Center, 7 p.m. Clippers tomorrow night. In the meantime, we got a couple of baseball games to get to today. Big ones, in fact. So, Copes, why don't we do this? Let's clear the decks. Can we get some extra bags on a Wednesday? Is that okay?
He's going to be here.
Yeah, you might as well get a few extra bags in you, and then we'll wrap the show up and hand
bags,
it over
bags,
to...
Bags.
Yeah, totally. To Jumpin' Johnny Lennon. And by the way, you're getting some love on the text line about your kickstand riffs with Tommy Lee.
Well,
so,
you know...
So, shout out, Copes.
By the way, that ain't me. That's Tommy Lee.
Well, that's Tommy Lee doing it. I'm just telling you what I see out there.
Don't give me the credit.
He's the one steering the boat, not me.
He's the one standing on you know, no hands.
Yeah, I love you.
Look, Ma, no hands.
I love you, Pookie, I think he says a couple times.
Oh, dude.
Hey, Spider... No, he does.
Dude, Pookie.
No, it's bad. I should have never seen it.
No,
we're coming back on the other side. Adam Copeland here from Murph on KMBR 680, the sports leader.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.